Welcome to the Eurospace Hub special episode from the podcast Business of Collaboration. Eurospace Hub aims to digitally connect the space ecosystem in Europe, from tech transfer offices to industry, space accelerator networks, research centers, and other universities. Eurospace Hub will allow these actors to easily connect with financial opportunities from the Horizon Europe framework to space research, space technology, and to accelerator programs. Eurospace Hub will bridge the gap between academic institutions and industry using a collaborative ecosystem and entrepreneurial mindset inside the universities and beyond. Every month, with the Eurospace Hub special episodes, we want to share stories about space technology and research with you. Enjoy the conversation. Today, your host is Jara Pascual, founder and CEO of CollabWith. Our guest today in this podcast is PhD Celia Avila Rauch, researcher on space ecology for astronauts and human factors astronautics. Celia is psychotherapist, co-supervisor, training on emotional intelligence skills, and as well she has the certification of the Yale University MSIT Mayor Salovey Caruso Emotional Intelligence. Eurospace Hub was proudly supported the Hannah Howe mission with LUNET. In this podcast, Celia is talking about her experience as a space ecology during the high seas base for the Hannah Howe analog mission on Mauna Loa volcano in Hawaii. Celia provided every day at the end of the day with a daily emotional intelligence training as a mission psychologist. This time, the crew experienced the emotion of joy through breathing exercises. Following this, each crew member had some individual free time. Super interesting. So Eurospace Hub was proudly supporting the Hannah Howe mission with LUNET Euromoon Mars team. Enjoy the conversation of this podcast. Welcome, Celia Avila Rauch, to the podcast Business of Collaboration with a special edition of Eurospace Hub.
Thank you very much for the invitation, Hara. I'm happy and glad to be here. Thank you.
Now you are a PhD student for space psychology. So what is your story about becoming a researcher for space psychology?
Yeah, it's a long story because when I was young, I was always fascinated about space, flight, pilots, stewardess, and all the things are connected to the air. But also I was thinking, my frustration, I explain this always, my big frustration was that I thought the 2000, no, the change of the century, everybody will be in a spacecraft and everybody will live in outside the Earth and everything. And then 2000 was the same. I'm happy because I'm here. I love Earth. But the point is, I was thinking, no, it's what happened with these people? They want to work, or they are working in a very difficult environment. It's not easy. Pilots and, of course, astronauts, no, they need to prepare their bodies and their mind and the brain to have a job. They are very passionate. And, of course, I was thinking, psychologically, no, I'm a psychotherapist. I'm a clinical psychologist also. Think, what happened in our brain? Or what is the characteristic of these people? They are working in this special environment or high-performance teams. That was my curiosity. And then I read an article of Pedro Duque, and then it was for me, okay, this is my way.
So what are your main research areas?
My main research areas are now is the cognitive psychology and also emotional intelligence. You know, I like this topic because it's a very important topic. Everybody's thinking about emotions, about crying, to be sensitive. And no, it's not about this. It's to learn to put the right emotion in the right situation, or to be aware which emotion is so important or I'm repressing that my cognition is depending on this emotion. And we are not in the rationalization about the situation. We are more scared about something or our behavior is depending of this. Then I'm working, of course, with human factors and human behavior. This is the huge or the big topic. And human behavior is connected with, again, cognitive psychology, emotional intelligence, and social skills or psychosocial. No social skills, everybody's thinking, huh, what is this? And social skills is what happens with, we are working together in a very small environment. Everybody knows what to do. There are rules, there are commanders or something, but no one is better than the other. It's a collaboration, it's a teamwork. And if we are not working together, the performance is not doing well. And this is the story, yeah.
And this is the topic usually called, like you mentioned now, human factors. Who are the pioneers in this topic and why it's important to research from psychological perspective and not only engineering perspective?
I think simple is people are working or using the machine. Then because people are using the machine, of course, the psychological point of view is very important. Human factors is about humans and machines. And the point came in the 20s, the revolutionary industrial revolution. Then man is also using more the machines. And then the point is how to adapt the machine to the person. But what are the abilities of this person to use these machines? And then the pioneer was Winslow. And then also the military in the Second World War developed very strong the human factors in the engineer in collaboration with psychology. Nowadays, it's not only psychology. There are many disciplines. They are also collaborating together, designers, architecture, and everything. Because when you have this combination, you are in a safe environment at the end, at least, and there is more effectiveness. And then at the end, the people are not so overwhelmed about the situation. You can better deal with. And then also in the psychological ways, how these things affect you. Because if you are in the cockpit, for example, and you have a lot of buttons, but you have a clear information or codes on everything, for everyone is easy to manage it. Because remember, astronauts and pilots, I think pilots on the Antarctica, something like this, is the point is the environment is not something clear. Environment is in change constantly. And then you need to have something very easy to use that you can also be concentrated to everything. And in the psychological way, we are analyzing the cognitive, no, the sense of attention. When we are talking about the cognitive process, no, we are talking about attention, the primary, no, the attention, the memory. We are talking about sensations. And then when we are talking about the cognitive superiors, no, we are talking about learning process. We are talking about the thoughts. We are talking about other capacities. And I think this is important that everybody is aware because, again, humans are using the machines. And I'm happy also that the artificial intelligence is used for humans. And then this is the point that we need to be aware that we are also very important, not only the machines. And then we need to work together. What about human behavior? Yeah, how the person is using this and how they are dealing also with the machine. I'm thinking now very spontaneously. Today I was spending 1 hour with the computer and my printer. And I was thinking, no, please. And I try. It's not because I'm not engineer, I promise. I know the story, but you know that something is always casualty. Or is, I don't know. And at the end, I'm very calm because my emotional intelligence, I think, Celia, okay, take a breath, go out, come in, no, take everything out, put everything in. But at the end, when you are in an environment, is no gravity, confinement, you want to talk to someone and you need probably half an hour to have a response, or you are with a controller and the controller has like my English that is not clear or specific, is a C, is a D, is a 2. I cannot avoid stress. And we are also analyzing stress, sleepless, people have a different times to work. It's not everything in the same timeline. Then you have conflicts. Of course, you have conflicts because it's human. And it's not that you have conflicts because you want. The point is fatigue. Not if we are working and you are not conscious that you are working. Maybe so interesting, or maybe it's not interesting. It's because you are in turbulences and you need to do something special and you need to go in another place. You have more trips, or I don't know. The point for you is you are not aware, and the fatigue means that you are not in the best shape, and then could be a conflict. And with your colleagues, or doesn't matter, or daily life, no? You are going to the ISS, and this moment someone is sick on Earth, and you cannot go back, and you feel somehow helpless. Yeah, it's a little dramatic, but the point is, we are humans, and this is also allowed to be humans. And then the role of the psychologist is more accompanying what happens. Is not to see pathology. No, we are looking for pathology. Ha ha ha. No, the point is, we try to take the best of the person, to push the best of yourself, that you can better deal with performance, with other people, and to accept that we are not always 100%. But if you are more aware about your emotions or about what happens with me now, I don't take it everything personal. I can explain, I can talk about this, or maybe I can go faster from this rumination or worrying. And at the end, we are looking in the psychology, what happens with you, how I can help you, how I can give you support, and then how I can make your life easier in the crisis.
If you want to be part of the European space innovation ecosystem in a digital format, go to our website to read more information about how to join. www.eurospacehub.com.
And then, what does it mean, space psychology, for astronauts?
For astronauts, is also to realize, I think, when you are there, everything is okay. You are trained. This is wonderful. And also they are trained in aviation. The situational space and everything, where are you, and everything is wonderful. But you are also, again, human. And then maybe the impact is in your body. Is your body in the microgravity? I try to catch something and something happens and I try to do something and everybody is very relaxed. But at the end of the day, again, there are many factors. And then the space psychologists try to give you tools that are okay for you, can recover easier for your situation or crisis or upset or something that your body is not reacting the way you want, and to cope, to deal with the situation and to be happy. Or happy is a topic, to be content with yourself, better performance, and open for new things.
And as well, the factor, like, if we have astronauts with habitats in the moon or Mars, this part of being very far away of home could be managed, thank you to the psychology.
Yes, I think the motivation is wonderful. It's the sense of these adventures. Also for everyone, they are selected. They know what it means. But when you are outside, I think it's a different feeling. And also you have only a window, one window. And this window, you are looking outside and you see the same landscape, more or less. You see the Earth, you see that, but stars. I think you are aware, but the point is, every day, this space, and every time, yeah, it's normal. You can understand everything, but you feel, and this is allowed to feel. And this is the point of the psychologist. The point is not to find something negative. These traits and this situation, how to cope with, and to see in a different way. But it's not easy because you need to think about you are with your colleagues in a very small place, but there's no intimacy. The communication, everybody is part of this communication. I think at the end of the day, probably you have no time for yourself, but every day is not easy. And then it's not about this. You are working. You are not there in holidays. You are scheduled. You have to do something. You have experiments. When something gets wrong, of course, you are frustrated, but you cannot change anything. If someone is sick, we need in these missions teams, one engineer, doctors or medicine, everyone there in the experiments. These mission groups are depending on the experiment, but you need to know a little bit for everything because could happen everything, your teeth or something like this. And this is not easy. I think it's not easy. But for them, the motivation is so high that everybody can cope with at the end. And when they are coming back, of course, for them it's very hard, the comeback in every level, not bodily and gravity and everything again, family. It's not easy, not easy.
We are talking about the space missions, but as well in the planet Earth, we have the analog missions to train of some circumstances before going to space. So you have participated in the last astronaut analog training from Eurospace Hub, Year Moon Mars, LUNEX in Hawaii, in the High Seas mission. And the operations are in Mauna Loa in Hawaii. So how was your experience and how you have applied the emotional intelligence skills during the mission?
It was very interesting in Mauna Loa. Very interesting experience, of course. I started with the feeling when I was young, I was doing a lot of summer camps, military summer camps. And for me, it was to go back in the childhood, but it's a different, of course, it's a different style and amazing. The point is to understand what is about the mission, to be conscious that we are in a mission and the rules. I think it's very important in these missions, the commander. The commander is a piece very crucial to understand how people is developing this mission and the cohesion of the group. And when we use, of course, the emotional intelligence, and no one was so aware until something happened. And then at the beginning, we tried to do the breathing, the Alba Emoting or the Breathe Express to understand that these emotions are there, but also in our face. The transmission, our emotion is also in our face. But what happens when everybody is happy? Or what happens when everybody is angry? Of course, was a nice experience in the sense that we were working hard, but also laughing a lot because the sense of safety was very high. And then to be aware with my emotion helped you to change. No, we need to change this emotion and the situation. And I think the commander was very calm, guide the group in a very assertive way. And then when you are in an assertive way, you feel safe. You are open then for criticism. You are open to engage yourself in the experiment or in the group. Part of the group was not new because we knew from before. But to be together in this situation was a great experience. And then you understand what happens in the moon or what happens in Mars, because it's not easy. Something happens and everybody's taking responsibility, but what happens when someone doesn't want to be involved? Or what happens when someone is very engaged, but he cannot deal with social skills or with group or need more time and he cannot express what he needs or they need? And I think was in this sense, amazing. And also the style of environment. We were in the lava tubes, and this is not with our suits. This is not easy. It's not that you are free. It's the sense you are somehow limited. And then you need to do the things until the end. And we need to follow the rules. But everybody wasn't very engaged. Also, the point is, when you are the whole time with this helmet and everything is not working, and then what happens? We cannot take the things, the gloves outside because radiation and everything. And then, okay, you need to be very patient with yourself. You need to not change the emotion, not be, everything is okay, I'm happy. No, the point is you need to understand is now we need the power. Yeah, I need to be a little anger because I need the power. And then to be conscious for everyone was a huge or wonderful experience because no one was aware. And then at the end of the mission was the point of, wow, really amazing. No? We could enjoy it and do. And also, yeah, I forgot. Sometimes in this engagement, we forgot a little bit our experiment because the atmosphere was so nice and everybody wanted to help everyone. We forgot a little bit what is my experiment about or what is my task now. And this is interesting. I recommend it to everyone to do this also in the Antarctica or also in Poland. They are doing also wonderful missions, analog missions. I recommend everything.
So, you know, as Aerospace Hub, we want to facilitate collaboration among different research space communities. What does it mean for you, for your work and for your department?
I think it's wonderful. It's amazing. Everything amazing. I think it's very important because I think in all the time I'm following the groups in the different missions, I see that one thing is the university with their task and their priorities. And other things is the experience of the students. And then is the enrichment. And then one of things in these analogs and the experiments in the space world is that everybody has something to say. Everybody had something to bring. Everybody want to share. Or I take something from everyone. And at the end is a collaboration. All this innovation, the point of the innovation is you can share. You are more in the sense of trust. We can talk about because in your engineer world, you see the things in a different way as my way. And then when we are sharing, it's not that I take your idea because I think this is crazy. Is the point is how we can complement. And maybe for me as a psychologist, everybody's thinking, ah, oh God, is looking for a pathology, blah, blah, when she doesn't know about her computers, blah. But the point is, no, I don't pretend. I don't want to be an engineer. Is the point for me is I want to express you that I cannot understand what happens with this machine. And then if you tell me something, maybe we can engage. And I think this is something we need in our world, that also the university understand what happens in the industry or in the daily life. And also for us is what happens at the university. The university, the priorities are different, but it's okay. We can complement each other when we are in a good shape and respect and to open for different modalities.
Listening to a Eurospace Hub special episode from the podcast Business of Collaboration.
And now we have the classical question we have always in this podcast and very difficult to answer. What does it mean for you, innovation?
For me, innovation is that you have a vision and you want to put this vision on the paper. And this vision is not because you are crazy. And it's not because I think you need to, I don't know, to be the best in the world. Could be, but the innovation is, I was thinking seriously about something, or this vision is giving me, well, something that could be in, no, it's new, but also useful. And then this is what I'm thinking in innovation. And sometimes we are not self-allowed or that we don't allow ourselves to innovate because we expect for this innovation something spectacular and I don't know, then everybody sees. One thing is the creativity and creativity is in the cognitive process. And then, but yeah, the creativity, you need the creativity to make it crazy. But innovation is something serious and is a vision and you are putting this vision in the reality.
So then the next level of innovation, What does it mean for you, collaboration for innovation?
What I thought before, when we are thinking in different topics, no, we are in space. Imagine we are in the space and you are the doctor, or doesn't matter, and you need help, surgery, and then you need for engineer. The engineer, can you give me this blah, blah, blah? And the engineer is giving you, and this engineer, you don't care. The sense the engineer is not thinking, oh God, I'm so scared about no medicine. Tell me and do this. And then maybe because I'm engineer, I see better how this tool is working. Is it you're a doctor, but maybe when we do this, maybe probably blah, blah. And this is the collaboration, it's a communication, but it's not the communication in the challenging way. I show you I'm better than you. Is the collaboration needs to be more self-confident and active listening. Then the sense of, if I have an idea I want to share with you, if you are not agree, we can discuss about it, but I'm taking you seriously. And maybe for me is the idea not nice, your idea, because in my psycho world is A plus A is nothing. And maybe for you, A plus A is something. And then it's not about to put everyone aware or in a challenging way. It's more to listen and to understand that we have a different perception about realities. And then this is the topic. And then this is what happens when you are in a special environment, because you need to collaborate. If not, it's not working, zero. And then you try to understand the things in a different way, open-minded. This is also one thing. One thing is tolerate doesn't mean accept. Toleration is making things easier, but I don't need to accept everything. If the things are not working, I need to accept this. You understand what I mean? No, the point is the collaboration is, okay, toleration, and then we can prove what happens.
It's a very nice description of collaboration for innovation from an emotional intelligence perspective.
Yeah.
So now we have the quick questions, always at the end of the podcast to know you better. So the first question, what does your morning routine look like?
I stand up with my alarm. I wake up, open the window, go to the shower. I prepare coffee, radio, and I do some yoga. Then I go back, I do everything. And then when I'm finished breakfast, I go to work and everything is done. This is my daily routine. And then I go in a coffee and I take a Italian coffee in a very wonderful atmosphere. Everybody is singing, happy, and wow, it's amazing. And then I go to work. Then this is my start.
What is your favorite place for holidays?
Of course, you know it. Costa Brava, Sagaro Playa.
What are you doing with your spare time and your weekends?
Do you want to know the reality?
Yes, the reality of a researcher plus worker.
Yes, I'm really happy to have time to read books or something related to space, do my work without pressure. I love it. And then the evening, I go for a drink or theater or cinema. But for me, it's the dream to have time to do my research and everything without pressure.
Would you like to recommend a book or a piece of music?
As a piece of music, all the rock, because I love rock music. And I like, you know, Scorpions, Dire Straits, Supertramp, no, they're all classical, or Royal Blood or Thunder, I don't know. And music, I love classical music, opera, classic, and book, 1,000,000,000 books. La Fuerza de Tu Espíritu, Dane Wire, or The Wayne Dyer. I don't know, I have many books I love. I read The Behavioral Health from Nick Canas, and I think it's very interesting.
Well, thank you very much, Celia Avila Rao, for this conversation and this insightful. You are doing research, very, very important, like as well in these extreme environments, we can apply down to earth to team performance. Thank you very much, and a pleasure to always have conversation with you and to do an official interview with you as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Hara. Well, I promise the same. It's a pleasure to have conversations with you. This is very an enrichment, really an enrichment. And yeah, thank you for the invitation.
Thank you for listening to our Eurospace Hub special episode from the podcast Business of Collaboration. Please share this podcast with your space friends and leave comments on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, or on Stitcher. See you next month for another story and interview. In the meantime, you can learn more about us on www.eurospacehub.com.